It's Radio Day at the Pentagon. Paul Berry here with you on this Tuesday, March 16, 2004, and very pleased to be reporting from a building that I have covered over the years as a television anchor for Channel 7 for many years, ABC, then now to be sitting inside here with the movers and shakers in the briefing room. This is the room where you see the big guns every day doing their briefings, and folks, we've got some of the guns right here. Let me just suggest to you, what a pleasure it is to have with us General Richard B. Myers, the 15th Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He is a native of Kansas City, Missouri, and his job is to advise the President, the Secretary of Defense, and the National Security Council. It is a big job. The Joint Chiefs of Staff means that he is the head of all of the various military branches. It's a big job with a big responsibility. In general, it's a pleasure to have you sit across.
Paul, great to be on your show. Thank you
very much. You know, when I was in Vietnam back in 1968, sir, I was in a foxhole. I recall very vividly, and I said to myself, and I said, you know what? I'm going to go to Washington, D.C. I'm going to the Pentagon, and I'm going to see I'm going to talk to the chairman, and I'm going to tell him exactly what's on my mind. It only took me 38 years to do that, sir. Here we are.
Paul, I'm listening. Tell me. But in 68, I was about ready to go to Vietnam so I could fly cover for you.
Well, thank you very much, sir. We looked up and saw you zooming around. It is nice to be here as I think about the past and getting up to what makes this country great is that we do have access to folks who make decisions. This is not an easy time for the military. You have possibilities of conflicts not only in Iraq, but certainly in Afghanistan. You have military in Haiti. What is the state of our military from your point of view today, sir?
The state of our armed forces is terrific. We are very, very busy. We are working very, very hard. But what makes us successful, whether it's Haiti or Afghanistan or Iraq, are the terrific men and women that make up our armed forces. And I'm talking all branches now, soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, Coast Guard, DOD civilians, doing superb work. As I say sometimes, Paul, I wish we could beam some of these individuals in here right from Iraq or Afghanistan and let you just ask them a couple of questions, and you'd find out how dedicated they are, motivated, how they understand the mission, and how they're prepared to carry it out. They're terrific folks.
General, a big difference between when I was in the war in Vietnam and today is communication. We see, hear everything right now.
Instantaneously.
And so the soldiers, these men and women who serve you and serve this country, there's nothing you can keep from them. They know what's going on. How is that impacting on morale? They hear the various arguments. They hear the political speeches. They hear, from a military point of view, does that make your job of maintaining high morale in the military more difficult?
I think, by and large, they're very sophisticated. They understand that you mentioned the political issue, that we're in a presidential election time period here, and that there will be political rhetoric. I don't think their leaders understand that. And I think they stay focused on the mission. At least that's when I talked to them. I was just in Haiti talking to the troops there. I try to get to Iraq and Afghanistan every 3 to 4 months. I'll go again next month. I don't find that they're distracted by that. They have a very important mission to do. They know how critical this threat is to our well-being, not just our well-being, but the other freedom-loving people in this world. And they're out there on the front lines of that, and quite literally trying to bring hope to millions of people. And doing just that. So I don't think it distracts them.
General, when you after a busy day, and I know you're sometimes putting in 12, 15, 16-hour days or more, when you lay your head down, are you optimistic about where we're headed here, or are you more concerned? What's your feeling?
I'm optimistic, and I'm also a realist and a practical kind of guy, but I'm optimistic. And whether you take Afghanistan or you take Iraq or even Haiti, you know, there are political processes underway in each of those countries that give us hope. You've got the UN thinking about getting into Haiti. You've got the UN in Afghanistan working the political process. You've got the UN thinking about how they're going to help the political process in Iraq. We've got economic work going on in Iraq and in terms of infrastructure. We've got a lot of international effort in all those areas. And when the international community decides we need to do something, let's just say that the threat on terrorism, and they take that on, we're going to be successful. And when you combine that with the men and women of our armed forces and the men and women of other countries' armed forces and their civilian diplomats and so forth, yeah, we're going to be successful. We're going to defeat terrorism. And regards Haiti, I think having just been there, I mean, that's a situation that goes back hundreds of years. It's the conditions there are deplorable. But I think, again, we're in there providing stability and security. The UN may move in. And when they do, continue to increase security and stability. They've got a political process going. Hopefully this time it'll take hold, get some traction, and we'll make a better life for millions of Haitians as well.
You lead an all-volunteer force today, and we talk about the various missions that are out there. Are you convinced that you can get the job done with an all-volunteer force, or are we going to have to perhaps turn to conscription?
No, the all-volunteer force has served us extremely well, and I think it's one of the reasons we're doing so well. There are no indications we're going to have to go to conscription. The retention rates, the recruitment rates are all meeting goals. Now, when I say that, I haven't got the latest statistics, but as of about 3 weeks ago, we were meeting goals in all our categories. One may fall down a little bit, but it's – and we try to watch that. Our problem is trying to be predictive because we are working the force very hard. We've got to make sure that we take care of them, that the American people take care of them in a way they deserve. So we don't fall short of our goals, but so far we're doing well.
You know, I recall coming back from Vietnam, General, and I was not treated very well based on the effort that we put forth. And I swear I want people today, the American people, to understand that the politics aside, the soldiers are doing what they're supposed to do. The military are there, and they deserve support of the American people. Whether all policies are agreed or not, you ought not take it out on the military man and woman who serves our country.
Well, Paul, I couldn't agree with you more. I had similar experiences when I came back from Vietnam, and we can share those at a later time. But today's Armed Forces member, they are really heroes. In my view, they're making the kind of sacrifices in their performance in these various jobs, more than just being soldiers, but bringing American values in many cases to these countries, helping train Iraqis or Afghanis on what it means to be in a democracy, how to run a business, matter of fact, or how to participate in municipal government. They are, as Tom Brokaw's book said, the greatest generation. Well, they're the next greatest generation, and we got a whole bunch of them that are the next greatest generation. And I think my impression is that the American people understand this, that they understand that they're doing a terrific job. And certainly we get great support out of the American Congress, bipartisan support for these efforts, and they give us high marks in the military. I say us. I'm talking about the people that are actually doing the work.
We're talking to General Richard B. Myers, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. General, do you ever get a chance to relax? And if you do, do you play golf or do you bowl or do you read a book? I mean, what do you have to do?
Well, when we got my personal sort of perspective on that, when we've got folks in harm's way, I'd rather be trying to do all I can do to make sure they have the resources to get the job done. Now, having said that, you got to take a little time off, but I kind of gave up golf after 9/11. I've played a few times, but I don't play very much at all. I do on a Sunday, if I can get a couple hours, I've got a motorcycle, and it's good to go out and make a little road noise every once in a while and then get back. And then, you know, I take care of myself because you got to do that. You got to stay in here for the long haul. So,
sir, it's a pleasure.
Paul,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Nice to talk to you.
Nice talking to you.
General Richard B. Myers with us. We'll be right back. Stay with us.